From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. A fast-moving wildfire is spreading into the Colorado Springs city limits. More than 32,000 people have been ordered to evacuate. At least 6 subdivisions have been included, officials say, along with residents of the Air Force Academy. In Colorado Springs, Incident Commander Rich Harvey says high winds make a perilous situation even worse.
Embers driven by the wind can jump a half a mile, and the probability of ignition from those landing, based on our fire behavior forecast, is about 65%.
Tens of thousands have left their homes. Tropical Depression Debbie is retreating and is headed out to sea. But forecasters say until it does, the weather system could deliver more flooding and tornadoes as it crosses Florida. House Speaker John Boehner says there's encouraging progress on 2 time-sensitive legislative issues. 1, to prevent interest rates on student loans from rising this weekend, and the other, to revamp the nation's transportation programs. The largest city in the nation to declare bankruptcy threw in the towel last night. NPR's Richard Gonzalez has details on what's next for Stockton, California.
Stockton is a Central Valley city of about 290,000 people. The city council faced a $26 million budget deficit, so it voted to adopt a budget plan that eliminates payments to bondholders and slashes money promised to city employees' medical retirement. Stockton was hit hard by the foreclosure crisis, which depressed tax revenues and made it unable to afford several expensive civic projects developed during the preceding boom. State-sponsored mediation talks with creditors failed. Stockton tried to forestall bankruptcy in recent years by laying off 25% of its police and 30% of its firefighters. With its vote, the city council is expected to make the filing official as early as today. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.
Syria will be the subject when representatives of the region and world powers convene in Geneva. As NPR's Deborah Amos tells us, the violence there continues to rage.
In new clashes overnight, rebels challenged an elite unit assigned to protect the presidential palace a few miles outside of the capital. The military response trapped civilians in their homes in the neighborhood of Qadsiya for hours. Anti-government activists report that more than 135 people were killed across the country on Tuesday, making it the bloodiest day since the uprising began. A UN official confirmed violence in Syria has reached and now even surpassed the fighting since the UN brokered a failed ceasefire in April. The Syrian military has stepped up an offensive to retake rebel-held areas. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Beirut.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 81, the Nasdaq up 15. This is NPR News. The blockbuster movie The Avengers from Disney and Marvel has made more than $600 million at the box office in the U.S. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports it's the third movie to reach that high watermark.
The superhero movie has set box office records since it opened in May, with the biggest opening weekend. It's taken in more than $1.4 billion worldwide. Now it's the third movie to cross the $600 million mark in the U.S.
This is nothing we were ever trained for.
Iron Man, Captain America, the Hulk, Thor, the Black Widow, and others recruited to save the planet have yet to top Titanic, which earned even more in domestic box office profits, $659 million. And even Titanic can't sink the epic sci-fi film Avatar.
This is our land!
Avatar remains number one at the box office with $761 million in domestic profits. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
Author and filmmaker Nora Ephron lost a battle with leukemia yesterday. In stories and movie scripts like Heartburn, Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, and many more, Ephron helped define the state of American culture and relationships.
Would you like to have dinner? Just friends.
I thought you didn't believe men and women could be friends.
When did I say that?
On the ride to New York.
No, I never said that.
Three-time Oscar-nominated artist, Ephron began her career as a journalist. She was 71 years old. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.